It might be like the, you know, like the buzzard, man, that, you know, he was looking at this hummingbird sing up on the telephone line. And he was heard this hummingbird singing a beautiful song. And the buzzard flew up there and swallowed the hummingbird up. And he said, I might not be able to sing, but I got singing down in me. And, you know, that's the way I am. You know, I might not be able to sing, but it's down in me. It's down in me. And so even though, you know, why? Because you got that gladness in your heart, the gladness. And so this should be a song on your lips whenever you have gladness in your heart.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, Part 2. So please open your Bible to Psalm 100 as we begin our message
Amen.
Titled
we have
Overwhelmed
Thanksgiving
with Thanksgiving,
coming up
Part
this
2.
Week. And as we look at Thanksgiving coming up, many of us take the opportunity more than probably any other day of the year to eat a little bit more than we would on other days of the year. And so somebody has put together some signs to tell you whether you ate too much at Thanksgiving. Signs to tell you whether you ate too much at Thanksgiving. Your doctor tells you on Friday that your weight would be perfect for a 17-foot tall man. Signs, you ate too much Thanksgiving Day. Paramedics bring the jaws of life to pry you out of your easy boy. Signs, you ate too much. You receive a sumo wrestler application in your email. Pricking your finger for cholesterol screening only yielded gravy. The rash on your stomach turns out to be steering wheel burn. Representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called you twice. And another sign, finally, that you ate too much at Thanksgiving, your arms are too short to reach the keyboard and delete this. I got it off the email. Amen. Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. Well, as we move into this week, like I said last week, we want to have an attitude of thanksgiving all the time. And hopefully we can use this week to kind of re-energize, to stir up, to motivate our thanksgiving. And so we're looking at the 100th Psalm. And as we looked at the 100th Psalm, we said that this particular song, based on verse 4, some people have said, was one that they sang when they entered into the temple, when they processed in for worship. Look what it says in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So some people say, well, the reason that this particular psalm was written was because they used it as they processed into the temple. Somebody else said, well, based on the superscription, which is a psalm, and the superscription are those words that come before the actual psalm itself. Based upon that, a psalm of praise in the King James and the NIV and the New American Standard says thanksgiving, a psalm of thanksgiving. And some believe that this psalm was written that whenever they were offering sacrifices of thanksgiving, you remember back in the book of Leviticus when Moses gave instructions on the offerings of thanksgiving, that whenever they offered the thanksgiving unto the Lord, they were supposed to read or sing this psalm. Whatever the case, God has it here for us to be able to be blessed from it. And so we looked at last week an unrestricted invitation. We see that the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, that nobody is excluded. He's calling everybody to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then we looked at an unexplainable sensation in verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness, and come before his presence with singing. That's an unexplainable sensation. The songwriter said, this joy that I have, the Lord, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And so we see here that, there should be an overwhelming sensation, sometimes a sensation in your heart that you can't explain because you've been overwhelmed with gladness. You know, we know what it is to be happy, and we know what it is to laugh. We know what it is to have a good time. But do we really know what it means to have your heart filled with gladness? Wow. To be glad and joyful. And see, when this gladness is in your heart, then it shows up on your face, because the gladness in your heart, oh man, the psalmist knew what he was talking about. The gladness in your heart, look what he says, shows up before, come before his presence with singing. See, when there's gladness in your heart, it's manifested in your life. But if your heart is sad, if your heart is grumpy, if your heart is disgruntled, then guess what? Your demeanor and your person is going to be the same way. But when you got the gladness of God in your heart, when you got the joy of the Lord in your spirit, it comes out on your face with singing. I like the song that we sang last week. We're marching to Zion. And you remember the verse in there? You remember the verse that said, let those refuse to sing who never knew our Lord. Amen. It might be like the, you know, like the buzzard, man, that, you know, he was looking at this hummingbird sing up on the telephone line, and he was heard this hummingbird singing a beautiful song, and the buzzard flew up there and swallowed the hummingbird up, and he said, I might not be able to sing, but I got singing down in me. And you know, that's the way I am. You know, I might not be able to sing, but it's down in me. It's down in me. And so even though, you know, why? Because you got that gladness in your heart, the gladness. And so this should be a song on your lips whenever you have gladness in your heart. Amen. Well, we're going to pick up with this third point today as we look at an undeserving association. An undeserving association. And look at this. Or an incredible association. What an awesome thought that sinful man can have a relationship with an omnipotent God. Wow, look at verse 3. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God, it is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If you look at your notes with me, we see God revealed in three aspects in this verse. He's revealed in majesty. Look what it says in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, and the word there for Lord is Yahweh, and it says he is God, and the word there is Elohim. So it says here, know ye not that Yahweh, he is Elohim, the majesty of God. That God reveals himself in all of his splendor. He reveals himself in all of his glory. That he is Elohim, the majesty of God, the plurality of God. Not only that, he's not only revealed as majesty, but look at, he's revealed as creator. It says, it is he who hath made us. He is the creator. He is the one who has shaped us. And not only is he revealed as majesty and creator, but look at in this verse also, he's revealed as the shepherd. It says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And the psalmist laid this thing out. In one verse, he reveals three aspects of God: majesty, creator, and shepherd. And because God is our shepherd, we can see four things about that. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Why do sheep need a shepherd? Because sheep are defenseless. Sheep are directionless. Sheep are dependent. And sheep are dumb. Sheep need a shepherd. Isn't this something? Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody here today. We know that we are all educated people. But, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, we're dumb. And unless we have a shepherd to guide and direct us, you know, I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals that don't know God. I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals say the stupidest things. I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals not believe in God. I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals believe that we came from monkeys. I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals that think all this got here by accident and by chance. I've seen some of the most intellectual individuals think that some amoeba floating around in space somehow crashed together and from some energy from some outside source sprang forth life. But I'd like to ask this question. How did the amoeba get here in the first place? See, I'm talking about we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Sheep are defenseless. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." You see, sheep have no way of defending themselves. All animals in the animal kingdom, or let me say this, most animals in the animal kingdom can defend themselves. The lion, the tiger, and the bear, they can all defend themselves. Even the porcupine can defend himself. Even the skunk can defend himself. But the sheep, defenseless. And unless they have a shepherd, unless they have one that's standing there with the rod in his hand, somebody that will protect him, sheep cannot defend themselves. Secondly, sheep are directionless. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Sheep are directionless. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." What's the analogy here about sheep? See, wow. The psalmist says we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He could have said we are his people, the lions of his den. He could have said we are his people, the tigers of the herd. Could have said, called us anything. What? He calls us sheep. There was something behind this now. And then you go to Isaiah 53 and it says, what do sheep do? Sheep go astray. We have no direction. Man, we should be overwhelmed with thanksgiving today that we have a shepherd who will give us direction. You know, sheep, what they do is they begin to graze. And they have their head down, and they begin to graze, and they begin to eat, and they begin to eat, and they just move from spot to spot, not once looking up, just eating, spot to spot. And if there's not a shepherd around to see them getting out of the boundaries and coming, edge them back in place, they'll wander off. And so they need the shepherd to keep them in line. Oh, I thank God. We're talking about overwhelmed with thanksgiving today. I thank God that we have a shepherd that sometimes when we cross the boundary, sometimes when we wander out of the pasture that he has prepared for us, that he brings us back. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are directionless. Sheep are dependent. Psalm 23:4 talks about the fact that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I want to say something about that in a second, but they are dependent. And then finally, we see that sheep are dumb. You're in Isaiah 53. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Sheep are dumb. Now, if you go to the circus and you see animals in the circus, you see elephants, you see bears, you see monkeys, you even see little dogs running around. But you don't see sheep in the circus. Why is that? Because they're too dumb to train. You can't train them. And we, as people, spiritually, don't know what to do. We are uninformed. We need a shepherd. If you talk about moving out of this sanctuary across the street, we need a shepherd. We need somebody to guide us. I can't do this thing on my own. I can't do it by myself. unless God comes down, unless God speaks to our heart, unless God shows us the way, unless God provides the resources, we can't do it. We need him because we don't know. You don't know. You might think you know, but you don't know until you get along with God. And see, that's the problem sometimes that we have in our lives is that we set up our own agendas. We do our own things apart from God when we ought to be turning to the shepherd. And that's the reason that he's there. He's there because we don't know. And if we'll spend some time asking him, he will show us. There's a lot of things that I don't know, but I thank God that I know one who knows everything. And if I just get before him and seek him, that he'll let me know what he wants me to know. Why? Because I'm just a dirty, stinky old sheep. See, we got dressed up this morning. You know, we put on our clothes and shined our shoes and fixed our hair. And, you know, we came, got all pretty to come here. But God said that we just sheep. You know, as a matter of fact, he said in Isaiah, he said, all our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And the terminology, and I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but you know what the Hebrew literally says? That all of our righteousness is just like an old discarded menstrual rag. You know, that's what it is. Anything that you can do that's right is just like an old dirty rag that's thrown away. The only way that we can do anything of meaning and substance is if the great shepherd comes and guides us and directs us. Man, this is an incredible, this is an undeserving association. I don't deserve this, but I thank God that he has given it to me. Look at the notes, and I'm going to finish up on this point right here. And that is, this is an intimate association. Look, it's a possessive relationship. It is he who has made us. That symbolizes ownership. It's a personal relationship. We are his people, and it's a protected relationship, the sheep of his pasture. It's a possessive relationship. God owns us. Don't you know that you have been bought with a price? That you are no longer your own, but you have been bought with a price. It is he who has made us. I told the story before about the little boy. Him and his dad made the boat, and it was a beautiful boat. And they took it out on the lake to sail it. And as it was out there, the dad had a string tied to the boat because he didn't want it to float off. And as they were out there, a little motorboat came and broke that string, and the boat got away from the dad and his son. The little boy was crushed. He was heartbroken. And a couple of weeks later, he was walking by a toy store, and he saw the boat in the window. And he said, that's my boat. That's the boat that my dad and I made. And he went there and said, Mr., that's my boat in the window. Can I have my boat back? And the man said, you lost the boat, and I had to buy it, and the boat belongs to me now. And the little boy said, well, how much does it cost to get back? The man said, $50. The little boy said, wow, but that's my boat. I made that boat. I shaped that boat with my own hands. And the man said, $50. So the little boy went and began to cut grass and do all kinds of jobs. And finally, he raised the $50, went back, purchased the boat. And as he was walking out, he held the boat up in his hands and he said, I owned you once and you got away from me. And I had to come back and buy you a second time. Therefore, I've owned you twice. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. It is he who hath made us. God made us, and we got away from him. Not because he couldn't hold on to us, but because we have turned our own way. We got away from God, and God sent his son to die on the cross to buy us back again. We've been twice owned. He made us and shaped us with his own hands, and we got away. But he bought us back like the little boy bought the boat back. It's a possessive relationship. It is he who hath made us. It's a personal relationship. We are his people. Oh, I love the song that says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's a personal relationship. I don't know about you. That's why I got problems with other religions, because their God is an impersonal force. It's a God that just is aloof from everything, that sits out there and oversees the universe. I thank God that I've got a God that I talked to this morning. I thank God that I've got a God who walks with me and talks with me and lets me know that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there in those early morning hours, in those late night hours, during the day, the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. I'm talking about a personal relationship. So that's why some people don't have that gladness in their heart, is because they don't have that personal relationship. If you got that personal relationship, then there's gladness in your heart. It's a possessive relationship. It's a personal relationship. Oh, then I like this. It's a protected relationship. We are the sheep of his pasture. And if we are in his pasture, he's going to take care of us. The psalmist said, thy rod and thy staff, they bring me comfort. Well, why does the rod bring comfort? Philip Keller, in his book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, says this about the rod. The owner's rod is his weapon of power and authority and defense. It is a continuous comfort to the sheep, for with it, the manager is able to carry out effective control over his flock in every situation. The rod was used for protection. The rod was used as a symbol of authority. The rod was used to drive away the enemy. It's a protected relationship. God has his rod that he protects us and he watches over us. Or if you look on the back of your notes today, we see an unrestricted invitation, an unexplainable sensation, an undeserving association, and I like this right here, an unequaled celebration. Verse 4, an unequaled celebration. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Look at the outline. Celebrate. And I said this last week, when you celebrate because of who God is, that's worship. When you celebrate because of what God has done, that's praise. And when you celebrate because of what God has done for you, that's thanksgiving. Oh, I'm talking about worship, praise, and thanksgiving. At the end of the verse, look what he says here. He says, bless his name. Bless his name. The word bless comes from the Hebrew word barak, and it means to come on bended knee. God's people should come on bended knee to worship the Lord. They should come on bended knee to praise the name of the Lord. Worship his character and worship his person. Amen. What is praise? Celebrate because of who God is. I worship you because of who you are. The psalmist said, we're talking about an unequaled celebration. There's nobody that can equal the celebration that we come and when we worship the God of the universe. Or they'll be celebrating and praising in about an hour when the Steelers and the Ravens take the field. They'll be screaming and they'll be shouting. They'll be tailgating. But there's nothing that can compare for worshiping God for who he is, for worshiping the glory. Tommy Maddox. A couple years ago, he was the hot quarterback.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Overwhelmed with Thanksgiving, Part 2. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.